Hello, and welcome to Wolf Creek Community Church in Lacombe, Alberta. We exist to reach out and enfold people for Jesus, together becoming devoted disciples of Him. Let's join the pastor.
I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in West End Christian Reformed Church in Edmonton. This morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's one of the parables of Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul has more of a Western way of doing theology. That's also the one that I was trained in, where you explain everything, right? And your thoughts about God, your teachings about God, you explain it. You just go on and on and on and talk and talk and talk and tell people exactly the way it is. There's another way of doing theology, of thinking about God and about the truth of Scripture. Jesus follows that one much more. What Jesus often does is he tells a parable. He tells a story. Now, in the Hebrew tradition ever since, for the last 2,000 years, the Jewish way of doing theology is much more fun than the way we do it because they tell stories. And it's from the stories they expect the listener to use their heads and figure out why the story is told. And so here's one of the stories that Jesus taught and that we need to try to figure out. So we're going to do that this morning, and I'm going to try to explain it a little bit, but I'll try not to be too Western about it, all right, so that you're done listening before I'm done talking. I'm going to try not to do that. So Luke 16, this is a parable that Jesus told us, and it's a parable that has to do with stewardship, with dealing rightly with the stuff that God has given us. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses." So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. Now the master commended this dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you," Jesus says, "use your worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And what we want to focus on, especially in this parable, is verse 9. "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings." Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, these stories that are often told by the rabbis, that also Jesus told in his parables, have certain characters that keep coming back. It's like, some characters you can draw on that everybody knows about. So in the Jewish tradition, they have attached Yiddish words, words from their language that they use. Northern European Jews have a language called Yiddish. And it's kind of half European and it's half Jewish, and it's kind of a great mix. But anyway, they got these wonderful words. So I'm going to tell you a few of them. I'm going to introduce you to a few characters. So first of all, you want to go to the first slide? There's the Schnorrer. The Schnorrer is a beggar. If you know the Fiddler on the Roof, the Schnorrer is the guy who comes and says to the rich man, "Alms to the poor, alms to the poor." And the guy says, "Here is one kopeck for you." And the guy says, "One kopeck? Last week you gave me 2 kopecks. "I've had a bad week." "If you've had a bad week, why should I suffer?" All right, that's the Schnorrer. Next one. The Schmendrick. The Schmendrick is the cheapskate. He's the guy who doesn't want to give to the Schnorrer. The Schmendrick is a guy who's so tight with his money that, he turns a nickel over 3 times before he spends it. And the Grand Canyon was formed when he lost a quarter and went looking for it. All right, that's the Schmendrick. All right, the Schlemiel. The Schlemiel is the guy who's always thinking smart things. The Schlemiel is the guy who reaches for the soup and spills it on your lap. You see, and that makes you the Schlemazel, right? So I'll tell you more a little about the Schlemiel. The Schlemiel is the guy who invents a skateboard for elephants. And then you're the Schlemazel because you invested your life savings in this project, right? The Schlemiel is the guy who borrows your car. And you're the Schlemazel because you have to go to Joe's Towing and pay $500 to get your car back, right? So these are the characters that keep coming back, and you find them in this parable too. Jesus uses these guys. So you got this Schlemiel, and this Schlemiel is the manager of the rich dudes. These are little villages that they lived in Palestine. The rich dude's got tons of money. Everybody owes him money. And this Schlemiel takes the owner's money, and he does a lot of stuff with it that's kind of like self-serving. So the Schlemazel, this boss, calls in the guy and the Schlemiel, and he says to the Schlemiel, "Now look here, buddy, you're fired." But this boss is a real Schlemazel. If you fire somebody, you tell them, "Here's a cardboard box, take your stuff, get out of here now," right? This Schlemazel doesn't do that. He lets the Schlemiel continue on taking care of all his possessions for a little bit before he actually fires him. So the Schlemiel is thinking all the time, "You know what? My future doesn't look so good because what am I going to do?" He says, I'm not strong enough to dig for a living, to work for a living, and I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do? And he says, okay, I still have, the wherewithal to appropriate funds as I wish. So what he does is he goes to his boss's debtors, and he says to one, "How much do you owe?" "Well, I owe a whole bunch, a year's worth of olive oil." Very expensive stuff, olive oil. The guy says, "Here, cut your bill in half." And he goes to another one, and he says, "How about you?" "Well, I owe a whole year's worth of grain." "Well, go and cut it by 20%. So everybody's happy with this steward, right? And he's thinking ahead, right? When I am no longer going to be able to use my boss's stuff, I want lots of friends. So what he's doing, he's using his boss's money that he will never be able to use again, and he's using it in order to gain friends for himself so that when he's fired, he can go and live a good life, because all these friends will be glad to help him out. Now, something very interesting happens. Just go on to the next slide and then the next one. That's a blank one. Go to the next one. There we go. So anyways, now this is what this comes to the attention of the boss, right? And the rich man now would take this guy and wring his neck, right? That's what you would think. But that's not what happens. The schlamazel has no choice but to commend the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. What's going on there? Well, you got to think back to this little Palestinian village where when the steward went and cut all these bills in half, who did the villagers think was doing this? They knew that the manager was only working for the big guy. So they all believe it was the big guy who was being generous. Right? So they thought he was doing it on behalf of the boss. So everybody is joyful and happy, and they think, wow, this generosity of this person, that's awesome. What a great man this guy is, this owner is. What a wonderful man. And they sing his praises and they put him on their backs and they take him throughout the village to show him honor and glory. After all that, can he say, oh, it wasn't me. It was my manager and he was swindling me. He can't do that. He's stuck. In a face-saving culture, he could never do that. He has to simply take the honor, take the loss, and commend the dishonest manager. You see how smart this guy is, this schlemiel? Now, there's something else that's very interesting, and that's kind of shocking to me, and it may be shocking to you when you read this parable, is that the manager isn't the only one who commends this unjust steward. Jesus also commends him. Jesus also says, you should be like this dishonest person. Heavens, Jesus, how can you tell us to be like a dishonest person? What's going on? And Jesus is talking in this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes who are always nitpicky perfect, right? They're all so holy and righteous, and they would never take a lesson from a dishonest guy. And Jesus says, I'll tell you something. He is better than you are. Oh, my. Jesus, how can you do that? How can you make this dishonest, this crook, as a moral example for all of us? Well, Jesus says, I'll get to that. First thing, though, you want to go to the next slide? The first thing he says, though, is, I don't mean that you should be dishonest. That's not what I'm talking about, Jesus said. That's not how you should be like this shrewd manager. Because Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? Now Jesus says, don't be like this dude. That's not what I'm talking about. What he is talking about, though, is that this manager has something that you and I, we all need, and we need it badly, and that is to have our eye on the future. You want to go to the next slide? The children of this age, Jesus says, are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And so I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of mammon. Mammon means earthly riches. So that when it is gone, those friends that you made will welcome you into eternal habitations. That's heaven. All right? So Jesus says, you need to be like this crook and take a very important lesson from this crook. True for the Pharisees, true for you, true for me. And that is, recognize the fact that everything you have and everything you own is going to be gone. You will not take it with you. It's going to stay here. When you move on to be with the Lord, it's all gone. So go ahead and invest your money and go and invest your time and your talents and your energy and everything about your life. Invest it where you think it ought to be, but recognize this fact, there's going to come an end to it. When everything that God has lent to you is going to go back to God or onto the next generations as God relends it to others. There isn't a thing in this life that you can take with you into the next. Except for one thing, Jesus says, and that is friends. Because when the judgment fires of God are going to come, and when everything is going to be purified and refined by fire, there's only one thing that's going to come through that, and that is people. Human beings whom God resurrects unto eternal life. They will come through it. Now, what are those people that you associate with every day? What are they going to say when we are all before God's judgment throne? So, you know that Bob D'Amour guy, right? He made some investments and he made some money in the minister's pension fund, right? And he's doing okay for himself. And he's got a few bucks squirreled away, he even owns his own house, right? Well, that's gone. Nothing left for Bob. So how about Bob? What was he like in that life? Was he a schmendrick? Was he a cheapskate who always kept all his stuff for himself? Or was he a generous guy who willingly gave in order that people would bless him and say, "Thank you, Bob, because I really needed that, and you were there for me, and you gave me resources." What did Bob invest in? And which investments that Bob made actually came through those judgment fires where God purifies the entire creation? And Jesus says, you've got to start making friends for yourself now. Before everything you have, the resources that God has given you are all gone. Use those resources now, not just to try to hang on to it yourself, not just for your own benefit, but make friends for yourself and invest in those friends. You want to go to the next slide? The Lord's Supper that we're going to do together is such a clear example of this. What did the Lord Jesus do with all his heavenly riches that he gets to keep forever? Did he just hang on to it himself? Or did he come down to earth and gave you and gave me his very life so that, as the gospel says, he could be one of many friends? Jesus came to earth to make friends for himself. Friends that would laugh not just for a lifetime, but that would be his friends forever. That's what he gave to us. What do we give back to God? What do we give back to Jesus? Our time, our talents, our possessions, our money. Where's it going? For who is it going? Are you making friends with your spouse? Are you making friends with your family members, your children, your parents? Are you making friends with your neighbors? Are you making friends in church? By taking what you are going to have to give away anyway and investing it in something that you can never lose. That's really what Jesus calls us to do. He says, if anyone would follow me, let him take up his cross, his sacrifice, and follow me. And not with a sad face, and not with anger and bitterness, but with joy. Because if you truly love, then you willingly give. What are you giving? What are you doing with what God has given you? However little or however much God has given you, are you using it to make friends? You want to go to the last slide? There was a cemetery once, and it had a bank on the one side, and it had a church on the other side. All right? So there's this bank, or cemetery. Bank on the one side, church on the other side. The bank got smart. The bank put up this huge sign that said, you can't take it with you, but you can lie next to it. The church got smarter. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Good and loving God, thank you for those very important lessons that you, Lord Jesus, also taught us. To be free and generous with what we have, because we know we can't hang on to it forever anyway. Help us to take what will fail. Help us to take what we will lose anyway and buy with it and invest it in that which no one can ever take away from us, brothers and sisters in the Lord, connected with your love. Jesus, as you gave yourself for us, may we give ourselves to you and to one another. We pray it in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you enjoyed it and would like to be a part of the experience, please come and join us. Be blessed wherever you are.